Hello and happy Monday, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to 98.3 FM. Got to adjust that mic. It sounds a little hot here. Thanks for tuning in to 98.3 FM, The Life. You're listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove. We come at you every single Monday night at 7 o'clock to talk about your job, your career, your vision made clear, the skills that you'll hone and the business that you own, the ups and the downs, the smiles and frowns, where you're at and where you're bound. If you can't catch the live episode, always, you can always tune into the Bacon Bits with Master Happiness podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm on the quest to bring you the industry best, and today I have a very, very special guest. My guest today is Kira Craddock. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Yeah. All right. So Kira is an award-winning speaker, all right, future speech pathologist, and we're going to learn all about that. I'm very excited to learn more about this. I'm planning on learning something today. I enjoy speaking, so obviously I'm in front of a mic, but I enjoy speaking in front of groups of people, helping them learn as well. So Kira, I could go on and on and on about you, but I'd like you to kind of introduce yourself. Look, the camera's on you. Tell us a little bit about you, who you are, what you hope to be, and what. Tell me a little bit more about this award.
Yeah, so I'm Kira. I'm on the speech team at my high school.
And, which high school?
Cary Grove.
Awesome.
And this year I did get to go to state, so I beat hundreds of people around the state in
Fantastic.
Radio speaking. So I got to share news stories, and so I ended up placing 15th at that competition.
Wow, out of hundreds of, I mean, that's the entire state, right? So that's a lot of people attending that. That sounds fantastic. And so it was just, it's radio speaking?
Correct,
So you're not in front of people, you're behind a mic, because you look natural. Yeah. You just look natural here, like you've been doing this your entire life.
So I get like news stories, and I have to cut them down into a speech, and then I get to give it for a mic. And judges.
Okay, cool. So tell me a little bit more about that. So they gave you news stories and you had
Correct.
To edit them yourself?
Yeah. So they give me like 9 or 10 news stories and I have to cut it down into 5 minutes, including commercials, sports, and weather.
Wow.
And then, yeah.
Okay, where did you learn how to do that first? I mean, what type of classes do they have at this high school?
I mean, it's all kind of just on speech team. So I joined my freshman year and I had no idea what radio speaking was. And then my coaches said I would probably be good at it. So they taught me how to do it. And yeah, it's kind of just been, it's been really fun.
All right. So Kira, I know you're a big, big fan of the show, Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. You listen to it every week,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
That's all right. The camera's off you. You could lie. Okay. So our show is all about, what we do is we introduce business people. And we talk about subjects like HR, leadership, employee retention, and things like that. But I was really excited about having you here because I think that the art of communication is one of these things that's really, really lost.
Yeah.
And it's lost a lot among young people. So this is great because I'm going to get your side of that story.
Okay.
But it's important that businesses understand the importance of, it's important that they understand the importance of communication, right?
Yeah.
And because too often what happens is supervisors talk to the employees and they tell them things that they want them to do. They talk about their vision, their goals, but they don't clarify it enough. And then everyone in the company is heading in different directions.
Yeah.
So this is why it's really important. So Kira, like I was talking to you a little bit before, what we do on this show, the reason it's called Bacon Bits is that we apply a little bacon to everything because we all know that anything that bacon touches makes it just a little bit better.
Obviously.
I like that answer. Are you a big bacon fan?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Excellent. Then you can stay on the show.
Okay.
All right. All right. So we don't talk about the bacon for chewing. We're talking about the bacon for doing. All right. And so we use the acronym BACON to describe or to solve the problem or to kind of give us an outline of what we're going to talk about today. And so you and I have we share an interest in public speaking. I absolutely enjoy it. Every chance I get to get in front of a crowd, I take that opportunity. In fact, I've got an opportunity. I'm going to be meeting with the group at Misericordia tomorrow. I'm doing a tour of Misericordia because then later on in the year, I'll be one of the MCs at a big event where they're raising money for it. Yeah. So I want to really learn more about it so that I can really speak from the heart. So anyway, getting back to the bacon, what we do here is we apply bacon, BACON. And so when we talk about public speaking and getting over the jitters of it and kind of understanding what to do, I've broken it down to these 5 steps. And you can tell me where I'm wrong and right because you're the expert. You're the big award winner. All right. So the B is this, breathe. It's important to understand how to breathe. Take a pause, understand that, don't rush into it. A is assess or consider your audience, understand who you're talking to. C is craft and compose just the right words that are meaningful to your audience. Organize, and that's organize and structure your speech. And then finally, N is to navigate the experience amongst your audience. Look at your audience, look for feedback, and be ready to adjust what you're speaking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kira, we talked a little bit about radio speaking. How often have you had a chance to speak in front of a group of people live?
I mean, there's a lot of different events on Speech Team. So some of the ones that I do are in front of people.
Oh, neat. Very cool. All right.
Yeah.
So what's the largest audience? If you were to say, I mean, and any, you know what? I have talked with people who a large audience is four people where they freak out and they can't handle it. So what do you think? I see you're getting coaching over here too. This is nice.
Yeah. So with Speech Team, definitely the largest audience is when you get to the higher competition.
Yeah.
And the competitive finals, like a lot of people come to watch and it can definitely be intimidating at first.
Oh yeah. Completely. Yeah. So do you have any secrets for getting over the nervousness of walking out in front of people or even speaking live like this? Because you know, there are tens of people listening to us right now.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think just kind of like being natural about it and not really like focusing on who's watching and just focusing on yourself more kind of always helps me get over the nerves.
That's pretty good. That's a great, great idea. One of the things I tell people is, and I learned this from Tony Robbins, is that the difference between anxiety and excitement are next to nothing. It's just the way that you tag it and your body doesn't know the difference. So instead of walking into a speech or a presentation with this anxiety about you, instead, what you want to do is you want to tag it as excitement. Say, I'm not worried. I'm not afraid to speak with these people. I'm excited to share this information with them.
Yeah.
And I think something like that helps you just get over it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So let's jump into this first part. Before we even get into the bacon, is what do you think is the major flaw in young people your age in the lack of communication? I think that people just don't communicate that often. What do you think is some of those reasons?
I mean, I definitely think social media and phones is a huge one because a lot of people, like I know when I'm talking to my friends, instead of like calling them or hanging out with them, I'll just spend hours texting them. And it's like, you know, I'm not really talking face to face with them. And that definitely like affects communication skills.
Yeah. Why do you think it is? And again, this is just your opinion, that even people who are near each other would rather text each other sometimes, or as opposed to picking up the phone and actually making a phone call. In fact, many people feel right now making a phone call, calling someone is rude. Like you should text first to see if they're accepting phone calls. So what do you think?
I feel like a lot of people definitely think it's easier, especially with like how technology is nowadays, that like it's just easier to just type something out instead of actually having to talk to people.
Right.
So
I'm agreeing with you that I think by just human nature is that we are a lazy species.
Yeah.
And what we're always doing is looking for the easiest way. Think about, you know, they talk about these like letters that people have dug up from the Civil War where there wasn't any ability to text somebody and saying, hey, I'm in a battle. So they had to handwrite these letters and mail them and hope that they got to the people they wanted to connect with.
Yeah.
And so they dig up some of these, and they're some of the most eloquently written letters, some of these most beautiful letters. Obviously, the terrible ones they're not going to talk about.
But
the really great ones are really worth reading. And you sit here and you listen to or you read a text that, on people's phones, and it's these short words like, yep, K, okay, things like that. And where have we changed in these hundreds of years where our ability to communicate has just dropped down so tremendously. It's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like definitely it's been like gradual, like as people have started realizing easier shortcuts, like they just want to take those instead of like actually putting effort into it. Cause like, why would you put effort into it if you don't have to?
If you can do the shortcut. Right. I find that with everything, every time technology is introduced to help us with a problem, what ends up happening is we take advantage of it. And it's sometimes, it slows us down or we become greater procrastinators.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So good. We're on the same page here.
Yeah.
All right. What would you do if you were queen of the world?
Okay.
So I like that. I'm ready. All right. Good. I like this because I like impromptu speakers. So if you were queen of the world and one of your tasks was to fix communication among young people, what would be one of the things or a couple of things? And, you know, those of you who are listening and you're looking at her face on YouTube, she's sitting here going, oh, this is a tough question. She is not prepared for this. I gave her little to no information about what we're going to talk about. But what would you do to fix this little bit of a communication problem or try to improve it? Let's put it that way.
I would probably say make people talk face to face more.
Okay.
And kind of like put them in situations that they usually wouldn't be in. Like, I know a lot of people, public speaking is not their thing.
Right.
But it's also because they haven't tried it. And, you know, I know that I always thought that public speaking probably wouldn't be my thing. And then I tried it and I was like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought.
Right.
So I think that like putting people in those situations would kind of make them realize that they're better at communication than they think.
Than they think they are. Right. Yeah. Right. I like that. And so there is that saying that the fear of public speaking, I think, is called glossophobia.
Yeah.
And, oh, very good. Thank you. I got it right. I was waiting for you to go, no, it's not. All right. So, and it's about 76% of the world has some level of fear.
That's like crazy. That.
Yeah. But when you think about it, if you're out in a store somewhere in just a public environment, I know plenty of people that if I just say, hello, everyone, can I get your attention? Can I get your attention? And I point to my brother or something. My brother Joe would like to say something. He would freeze. He'd be like, what are you doing, you idiot? I don't want to have anything to say, right? So whereas there's other people, I have a feeling, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but if I did that to you, you'd have no problem. You'd have something to say.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right, good. I think that's a strong characteristic to have, to be able to be that strong, not afraid of just speaking up. Have you ever taken any improv classes, comedy classes?
Yeah, I mean, in junior high, we had like a comedy club that was a lot of like improv and stuff.
Oh, cool.
But that's about the most that I've done.
Okay. I think that as a sales manager and a trainer, probably improv comedy was the greatest training that I had, even better than normal sales training.
Really?
Yeah, improv comedy was so important because it allowed us to really listen to the people and really construct an idea that enhanced what they were saying and was going along with them. So you could see how that could really work.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just see some improv comedy in your future. I could see it already. All right. So let's jump right into this. This five-step plan to become a better communicator.
All right.
And this first part is B, is breathe. In other words, taking a pause.
Yeah.
Slowing down a little bit. When I used to be in speech competitions, and I've got some cool trophies, and I'm really happy about that. And one of my mentors, one of my coaches, came up to me and he said, Marty, you've got to slow down.
That's what my coaches always do.
Well, you know what? We got a lot of energy, right? We got
exactly.
a lot of information to say, right? You know, some people are getting out one or two messages in 5 minutes. We've got like 25 to
exactly.
get out.
Exactly.
There you go. I love it. So one of the things I did was I learned the power of that pause.
Yeah.
Okay. How absolutely wonderful and dramatic a pause can be in the middle of a presentation, all right? When you said that when you'd speak quickly, all right, what was, who were some of the other people you'd listen to or talk to have you ever talked or listened to somebody you'd say, wow, that person really speaks too fast?
Yeah.
You've run into people like that, all right? What about the opposite? Run into people that you're like, wow, this person's talking way too slow.
Yeah, okay. Definitely both.
Right. So where would you put yourself? Where would you put yourself? Are you really quick, like on a scale of 1 to 10?
Probably like 8.5.
Wow. Okay. All right. Man, I'm afraid to be in a competition against you. I think we'd match up pretty well there. So when we talk about, if you were going to give some young people some advice about the pause or just the deep breathing, tell me some of the things that you would want to get across them. What would you want to teach them? What are some of the things that maybe some of your teachers or mentors taught you?
I mean, definitely, I think that like sometimes silence could be more effective than words. Like, especially if you're like talking a lot and then you just take a moment to stop, that can oftentimes like mean more than what you're saying.
Right.
And I think that that's something a lot of people don't realize.
Yes, I think that sometimes, and it sounds silly, but the silence is louder than shouting.
Yeah, definitely.
I have realized that when I'm speaking in front of a crowd, I can raise my voice really deep and I can go very deep with my voice, right? And that'll attract attention. But there's nothing more like saying, I'm going to pause. Yeah. Okay. And all of a sudden, everyone stops. There's probably people out there already tapping on their radio wondering what's going on. But I think the dramatic silence is incredible like this.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just jump. I want to jump back and forth. When you were in this competition, were there multiple levels you had to win in order to get to this top?
Yeah. So for each like event, there's 14 events in speech team. And for each one of them, each school can send one person. So first you have to beat everyone in your school.
Wow.
And then there's regionals, sectionals, and then state. So in order to make it out of regionals, you have to be in the top four. And then, So I got second place at regionals. And then in order to make it out of sectionals, you have to be top three.
Okay.
And then, my sectional, there was a three-way tie for third place, which was crazy.
Yeah.
So we sent a bunch of people to state. And then, once you make it to state,
This is you against the best of the best.
Yeah.
Right. What were some of the topics that people spoke about did you get to listen to everyone's newscast?
We did not get to listen to everyone's. A lot of it is pretty individual.
Okay.
So they don't really let you listen to other people's, but I definitely have listened to other people's, and it's really interesting to see like how they take it versus like how I take it, because you get the same news stories as other people.
Oh, does everyone have the same?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha. Yeah. So my next question was going to be about that. Well, tell me a little bit about the news story and what you edited. What did you say was these were the important things to really bring home?
Yeah. So you get like a bunch of international, national, and local ones. And then I like to pick it by saying like, what would people care about?
Okay.
So instead of just picking the ones that are going to be easiest to say, I pick like, you know, if there's a war going on, obviously people want to know about
right.
that
yes.
more than they want to know about something random, you know?
Sure.
So
sure.
I just like to pick what I think the audience will react most to and want to learn more about.
Okay. All right. Cool. So was there anything in particular that like what was one of the levels that you won? Was there something that you stood out that you're like, wow, that was a great story. I really wish I could have covered that live.
Ooh, I gotta think.
Okay, I'll give you time to think about it. I'm not going to just sit here and wait for you. I'll give you some time to think about
right.
it. All right. So we talked a little bit about breathing. That's the letter B. Next is A is assess, consider your audience. All right. The idea here is that obviously, you know, the same story that you're going to tell, let's say you need to speak in front of a group of surgeons and, you know, doctors and that, the speech you're going to give there is going to be a little different than what you're going to talk to 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
Just a little bit different.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So do you have any ideas, any secrets about that, of how you prep? Let's say you had to explain the same news story.
Yeah.
To both two different groups. Any idea of how you would adjust them to your audience?
Yeah, so I definitely think it's like you have to think about what they're going to know going into it and then what facts you have to give them. So a lot of times they'll be like big words and it's like, do I have to give the definition or are these people going to know what this word
right.
is?
Right, good point.
Yeah, and it's just things like that. And then like facts and statistics, like if I was giving it to little kids, they don't really care about the facts and statistics. But if I'm giving it to people that do care, like that's something important to include.
Okay. All right. I can dig that. All right. So to me, the breathing is the easy part. Assessing your audience, understanding your audience is when you were in these contests, how long before you actually gave the speech or the presentation did you know like who you were speaking in front of?
So you kind of know because, like, you know it's going to be judges. However, you don't know how old the judges are, where they come from, until you're actually speaking in front of them.
Right.
Yeah, so it's...
You get to see the judges? You see...
In some competitions, it just depends on the school and how they do it.
Okay.
But, yeah, so when I'm, like, prepping my speech, I have no idea who it's going to be in front of.
Okay.
Which definitely makes it hard, especially when it gets to, like, politics, because I'm like, what are they going to think about politics?
Sure,
what
sure.
What should I say? And it's like, yeah...
So have you ever heard of the group, the organization called Toastmasters?
I have not.
No. Okay. So it's an international company. It's a very international association, not a company.
Yeah.
And what they do is they help people with public speaking. And there's areas all over. And there's things for younger kids. And then 18 and over, there are the adult groups. And what happens is then they have speech competitions as well.
Yeah.
All right. And so you do the same thing. You start at the club level. You go to the regional or the area, and then the division, and then the district. And then if you win the district, you go into a larger region, and you could end up becoming the winner of the world. Because
that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Which so, and that's only, every division, every level you win, there's only one winner.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so if you lose, you don't go any
You're
further.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it is tough. And I'll tell you, it's amazing to be on the stage with so many incredible, incredible speakers.
Yeah.
And see some of the people. And now I really enjoy coaching some of those people.
Oh, yeah.
To get up to that next level, because I like to see them express their feelings.
Yeah.
All right. So when I was doing this, one of the things that I would tell people is you have to know these four things if you're going to win a competition. But it's also, it's a competition is one thing, but you have to understand that you're still in a competition. If you're announcing a broadcast, you still want to convince the people or get the people to understand what you're talking about.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're always competing. You're always selling. Okay.
Yeah.
So I always say there's four things that you need to know. And number one is you have to know yourself. You have to know how you present, how comfortable you are, how you, how long you have to practice.
Yeah.
Everything. So you know yourself. Number two is you have to know the material. You have to know the way you're writing it. You have to know that inside and out. You have to understand the emotion behind the material you're sharing, right? Number three is you have to know your audience.
Yeah.
Who you're listening to. We just talked about that. And then the other thing is know your, know your audience. Now I'm going to forget the fourth one. As know your competition.
Yes.
That's what it is. And it's funny. Wow, I just drew a blank there. As you have to know your competition when you're in a a contest of some sort, it's nice to know, hey, who am I competing against?
Definitely.
I know what their strengths are, their weaknesses. But when you think about this, let's say that somebody decided that they wanted to go into broadcasting for a living.
Yeah.
There are plenty of other things that people could be doing right now rather than listening to the show.
Yeah.
Okay. And it breaks my heart to think that not everyone's listening, but but a few people are out there not listening. But I have to put something extra into the show to compete against all the other options. They have other they have TV shows they could be watching. They have other radio shows they could be listening to.
Yeah.
They could be spending time with family. Whatever it is, we always have competition.
Yeah.
So you have to understand those four things. I need to understand myself. I have to know myself. I have to know my material. I have to know my competition. I have to know my audience or my judges. Okay, so that's cool. That's my biggest lesson for you, if you can take that away. All right, so we talked a little bit about breathing and assessing your audience. The next one is crafting your speech. Okay, that's the C. And this one I really like, and I'm switching the camera back onto you.
Okay.
Do you have any secrets on how you craft your speech?
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because crafting your speech and organizing your speech, the next two letters are very similar. But let me hear, tell me a little bit about your secrets, what you've learned, what you've found really works for you.
Yeah, so I would say definitely trying to like appease the audience. And I like to add humor to my speeches.
Excellent.
Because I think it's definitely like you can get caught up in a lot of boring news stories that honestly not a lot of people care about.
Right.
But if you can kind of draw them back in with humor and like comments, they're more likely to want to listen and want to like engage with what you're saying.
Sure,
so I definitely try to do that to kind of break up what could otherwise be pretty boring.
Okay. Do you find that, because obviously you're still in school.
Yeah.
Right? And so you've got teachers who are basically lecturing or speaking for 45 minutes or an hour. How long are your classes?
45 minutes.
Okay, so they're speaking for 45 minutes. Do you see some of them? Are you learning from them, just picking out clues from them, going, oh, I like the way they did this. I like the way that they broke this up.
Yeah, sometimes I definitely will do that.
Okay.
And I feel like there's a lot of differences in how teachers teach. And it's really, like, interesting to see, like, which ones I connect with and which ones, like, say things that are, like, you know, more, like, I don't know, more easier to follow.
Okay, sure. And I think those are the ones that are you finding that they're really paying attention to the audience.
Yeah.
And then I'm jumping to N, which is navigate the audience. But
but
they're really paying attention to the audience while they're laying this whole thing out. How long do you think some of these teachers, and I'm going to have you ruin your teachers' lives, how long do you think your teachers are prepping for their day, that 45-minute class? Like, do you think they're prepping as if they're saying, hey, we're going to give you a lecture of something, or do you think they've got kind of an outline and they run with it?
I don't know. I feel like it definitely depends on the teacher. I think a lot of them have been teaching for a while, so they kind of know what they're doing.
Okay.
But I mean, definitely some of my teachers will come into class and they're like, yeah, like I just read what we're doing. So we'll see. I'm like, oh, okay. Sounds good.
You know what? It's as long as it's the right kind of teacher, I think that works. completely. I don't want to jump too much into that, but so on Sundays, I teach children from elementary school all the way through high school. I teach on Sundays. It's called the Shilin Chinese School in Hoffman Estates. And so I have classes, you know, I have one kid who's 7 years old. I think he's six, but his parents say he's seven. And so he's in a class, and what we do is I just teach public speaking, and I teach debate.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's really, really cool. And mine is really game focused, and it's really to be funny, to have a lot of good times with it, to make them laugh and to get them to exercise. And everyone in those classes, nobody sits down. Everyone's got to take a turn standing up in front and talking.
Yeah.
But I make it, like you said, you have to add some humor to it.
Yeah, definitely.
The more fun it is, the easier it is for them to get up in front of the class.
Yeah.
Okay. When we're talking about this, when did you find that you really kind of like this? I mean, I don't know. What year in school are you, if you don't mind me asking? A junior? Okay.
Yeah.
When did you do, in elementary school or middle school, did you have anything? Any speech classes like that?
So I didn't have any speech classes, but when I was in like second grade, I think, I got an opportunity to be a junior reporter for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like an audition process and I got the role or whatever. And so that was really fun. That kind of opened my eyes.
Sure.
I got to interview like players and I got to go to the draft and interview like the
prospects. Wow. How old were you then?
Like eight.
Wow, that's incredible. That's really cool.
Yeah, so then was definitely when I kind of realized that like it was something that I was interested in.
Yes.
And then my dad was a speech coach.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah, so when I was just a kid, like I would go to the competitions and I would like, you know, meet the students and watch him coach. And that definitely kind of showed me that like, yeah, this is something I want to do.
That is very neat. That is very neat. So you got a chance to talk to the guest who was in the show before? I mean, he's looking for a junior reporter. All right. So I don't know if you're interested in that, but that's interesting because you could be doing that same thing. You should at least go tell him you'll come out there and and play with it one time. You know, get on the mic and be live on a race show. Yeah, exactly. Right. That would be awesome. So I'm going to get back into crafting the speech.
Yeah.
Now, when I teach people to write a speech for the first time, and this is just, let's say they're going to write a story or a speech and they have to give something to where they're talking for like 5 to 7 minutes or something like that. What I do is I tell them after they define the purpose, or the whole reason for the speech, after they do that, come up with the ending first. And I tell them this is drive home the ending, because that's the part that maybe it might be the only thing that they remember from you.
Yeah.
It's those last words, your tagline. It's like your commercial for yourself.
Yeah.
So you repeat the information you've been talking about.
Yeah.
So I like going to the ending first, work on the ending and practice the ending and keep that as a separate element. Then I tell them now go to the beginning and create your hook, the whole excitement building piece of what's the piece that pulls them in, okay? And make that a separate piece. And then take the body of the speech, and I usually tell people, you know, the old rule of thumb is come up with 3 points you want to make.
Yeah.
And so come up with the 3 points, and then what you want to do is then finally work on the transitions.
Yeah.
How you move from one spot to the next to the next. And then when people say, oh my God, I got to do a 7-minute speech, I'll never remember that. But I said, but if you break it up into these 5 pieces, the ending, the beginning, and these 3 separate pieces with transitions, anyone can remember.
Yeah.
You just have to remember a 1 or 2 minute presentation on that one point. And so it's really cool. So what kind of, now that's the way that I teach it. What kind of structure have you worked with, or has anyone given you anything to say, hey, work on it this way?
Yeah, so definitely with the event that I do, it's kind of like you do an intro and then you go to international, national, local, and then you kind of go into your sports and weather and commercial.
Okay.
And kind of keeping it consistent like that definitely helps.
Okay.
Because I kind of know like the flow and the timing of it all.
Gotcha. So have you had to go and do anything of just regular stories, standing in front of people to tell a story that you, or a speech that you wrote yourself?
Yeah, I mean, nothing like too professional, but for English class.
Okay, sure.
Last year we had to give speeches all the time.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of the most experience I've had with that.
Okay, all right. And you're enjoying that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, are you looking for more opportunities to do that?
Sure, if you have some.
Well, we'll look around. We'll see what we can do. So right now, if you don't mind, I'm going to take a little bit of a break just to thank some of the people who support our station here. So hold on 1 second. And we are back. Thank you so very much for tuning in to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove. And I'm coming at you every Monday at 7 o'clock, and we talk about young business professionals, every aspect of your business, from accounting to HR to employee retention, hiring, firing, anything in between, production, finance, whatever it takes. That's what we're going to be talking about every single Monday. Today is a very near and dear subject to my heart, and that is communication, helping business people, helping kids, helping older people become better at communicating. So I couldn't imagine a better person to have than my new friend, Kira. And so we've been talking so far about the bacon of communication, which is step one is to breathe, just kind of take a pause every now and then. A is assess your audience. C, we've been talking a little bit about composing your thoughts, crafting your speech. And now we're going to get into O, which is organizing your speech, that structure. We talked a little bit about it, but we're going to carry on with that. But before we get into that, so Kira, obviously, it's tough to just say, I'm going to be a professional speaker It's for the rest of my life. So what is it that you want to do? Like, what is it? What is the idea here of the competitions you're in, your desire, your dream to speak more? What is your ultimate goal? What do you want? What do you see in your future?
Yeah, so I'm right now looking into being a speech pathologist, so helping kids that maybe don't have the same speech skills and need a little bit more help with it.
Wow.
And helping them kind of achieve their full potential.
Okay, all right. So what was your, you know, your idea? What was the thing that lit that fire, that started that spark for you?
Yeah, so both my parents are teachers. So okay. When I was a kid, I wanted to kind of follow in their footsteps.
Okay.
But then I started volunteering with teachers and different, like, professionals within schools. And the one that just really stuck with me was speech pathology. And so, yeah, I, like, watched people do it. And I was like, this is, like, really what I want to do. And it takes a lot of skills that I've always had, and kind of puts it into a, like, profession that I can use my speech skills but also help kids.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So what, now, both your parents are teachers. What do they teach?
Yeah, so my dad's a science teacher at a high school.
Very neat.
And then my mom's a reading teacher for elementary kids.
Okay, so that's cool. Your dad actually talks, your mom reads, right? So it works out perfect. Now you should become a writer. And then you've got the trifecta there, right? All right. Well, you know what? Being a good speaker, you have to be a good writer as well.
Definitely, yeah.
So how do you practice writing? Let me ask you that. Let me throw a curveball at you.
Okay.
All right? What do you do to become a better writer? Because I really truly believe the more you write, the more you read, you diversify your education, the better speaker you become. So what do you do?
I mean, definitely the classes that I take in high school. Right now I'm in AP language and composition, and so that focuses a lot on writing, and we do a lot of in-class essays, so you kind of just have to, like, write whatever's on your mind. And that definitely helps improve my writing skills, but also my speaking skills, because it helps, like, the impromptuness of it.
Yep.
And I just have to, like, say whatever I'm thinking and make it make sense.
Okay. All right. So what about, like, reading or writing for fun? All right. Do you do any of that?
Yeah. So definitely when I was a kid, I loved to just write stories, and now I don't do it as much. But I do still like reading for fun.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of murder mystery books. They're my favorite.
Okay, good. So I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to push you as your elder now, right? A self-appointed mentor for your speaking career.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to push you into doing some real writing. Grab yourself a journal. You never have to show it to anyone. Just what I want you to do is just grab it and write free thinking. Just brainstorm all over the page. Write ideas. Come up with things. Write poetry if you want. Write little paragraphs. Explain something and go out on a limb and just look at something. You know, go out on the lawn and say, oh, there's a dandelion. See if you can write a paragraph about a dandelion. And I think what it does is it forces you to think outside the box. Don't stick with just what the school is giving you. Actually pursue this. If this is what you want to do, you've got to pursue it, and it's got to be part of you inside. And so now your mom's been paying me like $20 to say that to you, just to let you know that.
I'm sure she is.
And I know I'm waiting for you to say you should have held out for more. Okay, but I really want you to do that as well as reading, okay? Because reading a lot of different types of things helps you so much, because you get to see the way other people write or speak. I love audiobooks because not only do I get a number of different ideas and different authors, but I get to hear the way that people are enunciating it and reading it and just get a different flair of those pauses and something that's a little bit different than actually reading the page.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so I want you to push on that. And so now you're live in front of this the entire world. I want you to make me a promise now that the camera's back on you that you're going to start reading and writing for fun.
Okay, I will. I promise.
No, you have to say, I'm going to start reading and writing.
Okay, I promise I'm going to start reading and writing for fun.
Awesome. There you go. Uh-huh. Good. There you go. So now I'm sure you'll never come back, right? Okay. So one of the things that in the class I was teaching, I told you I was teaching these speech classes, and I found that it's really useful for my debate class as well, is I introduce a little poetry to them.
Oh, yeah.
And because what I think, other than just speaking, if you can add some rhythm to the way you speak.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, where you're just going to not speak clumsy. You're going to speak with something that the words are meaningful. All right? And I started out with a class of asking people what their favorite song was, a lyric of a song, or a favorite quote, and just talk about it and just say it out loud and find the most memorable lyrics or the most memorable quotes are the ones that just sound nice when you say them. The meaning is one thing, but the words fit together so perfectly. So I think there's something really powerful in understanding poetry, and I think it makes you a better writer and definitely a better speaker.
Definitely.
Now, have you ever heard of a Cinquain poetry?
No.
Now, your mom teaches reading, so and she's nodding her head. Did I pronounce it right, Cinquain? All right, awesome. So it's a French background, and I know that because my wife studied French.
Oh, really?
She studied French speaking. Okay. So
I'm in French class. Yeah.
So. All right. So then Cinquain, it's five is in there. Cinq?
Yeah, Cinq.
All right. So anyway, what they do is I love this poetry. This idea here is it's a 5-line poem. And I'm not going to make you write a poem right now.
Okay,
that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. But I like the subject here, the way that they break this down. Line one is only 2 syllables. All right. And what you do is it's the title or the subject matter you're going to talk about. So I like this, like I was reading an example and they said ice cream, okay? And I'm looking at your mom, but she's giving me this funny look going, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So the first one is the subject line, 2 syllables. The second line is 4 syllables that you use to describe the subject, okay? Tasty and sweet, ice cream, tasty and sweet, something like that, right? Then the third line is 6 syllables where you describe an action, like you're eating the ice cream, something like that, right? The fourth line is 8 syllables where you describe your feeling about what happened. And then finally, the fifth line is back to 2 syllables where you're repeating or describing the title again in another way. In other words, during these 5 lines, there has been an evolution of this.
That's cool.
And it's really cool because the first time I was just saying, oh, this is a cool way to write a poem. And the more I read this, the more I really got into it because when you think about this, is I'm going to give you the title short and quick. Then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to define it so that we know we're talking about the same thing. Then what I'm going to do is describe the action, the evolution, the change, something about it. And then I'm going to spend even more time talking about how I felt about it, the emotional impact it had on me. And then finally, I'm going to end it by saying, this is how it changed. This is how I grew. This is how I learned. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love it because at first I thought, oh, this is a quick, easy way to write a poem.
Yeah.
And then when I realized it, it's such a great outline that I think kids could learn this because if you think about, pick a subject, any subject, something like anything.
Ooh. Music.
Music. Perfect. So what we start out with, so music, we would talk about music and forget about the syllables. So if I said music, when music is such a broad field, define what you're talking about. Tell me in a really short sentence what type of music or what do you want to talk about with music?
Like listening to music.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So listening to music, awesome. Now the next part is give me an idea, an action. When do you listen to music? When do you want to listen to music? When does music help you?
Like probably like when you're stressed, like listening to music.
Okay, so cool. So that's the action. I like listening to music when I'm stressed. Now the next part is what is the feeling you get when you listen to the right music when you're stressed? What happens?
It makes you calmer.
All right.
Relaxed.
There you go. And then finally, it's more than just music. Give it a new title. What is it something? What is it something else? So you end up calling it, this is my savior.
Yeah.
This is my solitude.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. And so what a cool way to just have a really neat way to describe almost anything in that regard. And I think this is where we get down to real communication.
Definitely.
Because I'm not just saying, you know, so how was your day? Fine. Okay, no, you're saying, how was my day? Let me describe my day, my entire day. Okay, I was playing basketball with my friends. I was doing all of this kind of stuff. Okay, man, I just love spending that much time with my friends. It's exhilarating. My day, terrific. Okay, that same thing is just using that outline of Cinquain poem is a great way to teach kids, young kids, share some information.
Yeah.
Okay, so... one of the things I'm going to throw at you is this, and I'm going to put you, now I'm going to put you really on the spot.
Okay.
So the camera's on you and everything.
Oh, man.
I ask all the kids when I'm teaching them, tell me about your week. I only see them every Sunday. So I say, tell me what went on your week. And a lot of them are like, nothing. I'm like, something happened. Tell me something that went on. But then I usually give them a subject to make it a little easier. Sometimes I'll say, tell me something that went on in your life that revolved around music. Tell me something that went on in your life about an animal or a plant or something. So I'm gonna throw that at you. I'm gonna hear how you impromptu speak.
I'm ready.
All right, beautiful. So in the past week, tell me a little story. Share something with me about an animal that you either saw, heard about, anything like that, and how it affected you.
Well, just today, actually, I was at my house. I went outside for lunch. And then my dog, I saw him at the door. So then me and my dog sat outside for like 10 minutes today.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really nice.
Just sitting out there.
Yeah.
Right? What kind of dog do you have?
A golden doodle.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. See, look at this. How beautiful that is, that it's a real conversation as opposed to me saying, so tell me what's new. Everyone goes, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's really cool to push people into speaking a little bit more, okay? And what this does is that whole story, what it does is, I think it's like a string, it's called a string conversation. And what you've done is you've given me now enough information that I can take that conversation and take and go in a lot of different directions. I can talk about the weather. Thank goodness the weather was so nice that you were able to go outside. Tell me more about your dog. How long have you had the dog? When you said you sat outside, were you sitting on lawn chairs? Were you sitting on your porch? Were you sitting in a car? Were you sitting on a swing? There's all kinds of things that we can talk about, just as simple as that. What's your relationship with your dog? How long have you had the dog? Do you love the dog? Is it actually your dog? Is it someone else's dog in the family and you're just taking it? Okay, so it's really cool that when you share a larger part of the story, it can turn into a real, real conversation.
Yeah.
And this is this art that I wish we had teachers, a teacher in here as well, because I wish I could talk to a teacher. That would be awesome. only because what I wish is that they would, if schools would really teach the art of conversation to kids, because they're teaching all of this stuff that they need to learn and to memorize and understand, and there's all these things that are really good. But to be able to share that information is so important, right?
Yeah.
Because what good is it if my head is full of this information and I can't do anything with it? I can't share it with other people.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so I put the camera on you because I want to see your face when I tell you this.
I'm so ready.
All right. So I have a mantra for myself that I wrote for myself called Shine, Sharpen, and Share.
Okay.
All right, and I believe that everyone should come up with their own mantra, their own thing, their way of how they attack life.
Yeah.
I think it was Pablo Picasso said the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I know. It's really nice. And I like the way that it sounds. It's just really pretty sounding. All right, so mine is Shine, Sharpen, and Share. Not as pretty, but it's memorable. And so the idea here is shining means understand who you are, what's great about you, what are the benefits of you, where are your talents, your abilities, your gifts, all that kind of stuff. So understand that and don't be afraid to talk about it as long as you don't step on other people, okay?
Yeah,
that's the whole
true.
Idea. You're not bragging and boasting in order to be better than people. You're just saying, I happen to be good at this.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's the shining. And you should do that every day because you should, congratulate yourself for being who you are. Sharpen is the next one. You should do something every single day to become a better version of you. If you're already good at these things, you should become better and better and better. That's why I was pushing you into writing and reading, okay? You should continue to improve yourself. And then last thing is sharing. What good is it if you are really good at something, you're always improving it, and you don't share it?
Yeah.
Okay? And sharing could mean selling it, giving it away, bartering it, whatever. But in other words, don't keep it inside. Share it with the world. And I think that's a really important thing that we should all learn how to do.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So I'm looking at this. We're doing fine. We should add another half an hour to the show. But so the last letter here is navigate. So far we've done breathe, which we want to take that pause, that little momentary break for ourselves to say, hey, we're going to move forward. A is assess the audience. C is craft the speech. Compose your thoughts with real cause and care when you're talking to people. O is organize the speech in a proper way so you're getting that information out when it's necessary. And lastly is navigate. And this means navigate and change and allow the speech to kind of evolve, or your speech. And this can just be a simple, your conversation should be able to evolve based on your audience. Okay? So let me ask you, since you're the speech expert, right?
Uh-huh, for sure.
Okay. And even this is, as a speech pathologist, you're going to be working with kids someday. How are you going to get them to talk more? How are you going to get them to do this? And just because when you're doing this, you're going to be looking at their faces. You're going to be talking to them. You're going to be seeing whether they're a little afraid, they're anxious, or what. How are you going to do this? How are you going to urge them to do this?
I definitely think that using things that they know and that they like can help. Like
okay.
When I was shadowing with a speech pathologist a few weeks ago, she was using toys and she was telling them, hey, tell me what this like action figure is doing. And the kids were more likely to want to talk when they were talking about Superman than when they were talking about just something random. So I definitely think redirecting the kids and showing them things that they are comfortable with can help them do things that they're not as comfortable with.
Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. All right. And so what do you look for? What are some of the things, if you were going to be speaking in front of a group and you're going to teach them something, what are some of the things? Share it with all the other young people, the old people, everyone like that. What do you look for in the audience to know that your message is getting across? And if it's not, how do you change up?
Yeah, so definitely, like, if you're trying to use humor, make sure that they're actually smiling or laughing.
Yeah.
And if they're not, you should probably pick some better jokes.
Sure.
And
yes.
Then if they seem engaged, you know, they don't seem too bored, they seem to like know what you're talking about. If they seem too confused, like simpling it down a little bit.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Or if they seem really bored and you're, you know, try to introduce new ideas and not be too repetitive with what you're saying. Stuff like that.
Okay. All right. I like that. One of the things that I found with humor is this whole idea of sometimes, you know, I've delivered plenty of jokes and started maybe conversations where I'm like, you know, I'm going to warm up the crowd and I tell a joke and it turns out that the joke is terrible or I say it wrong and I flop. And there's nothing worse than that. So you've got to learn to just laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
And if you realize you're really not that good at telling jokes, then just don't do it. You're better off not doing it at all. Okay. All right. So I want to kind of, as we've got about a handful of minutes left, is this universal call. Okay, that I really think is important. I want to go back to this idea of how we started, is the importance of conversation. So I want you to do two little mini commercials. You're selling the art of conversation.
Okay.
All right, and two commercials. The first commercial is going to be parents and older people, what they need to know, how they need to communicate with younger people.
Yeah.
All right, so that we can understand you more, okay? And then the second commercial, I want you to sell the art of communication to young people.
Okay.
How they should get their faces out of their phones. So go ahead.
Okay. So first for older people is definitely like listen to your kids, like listen to what they want to talk about. You know, like don't force them to talk about things that they don't want to talk about. Like if you want them to talk, listen to their problems with their friend or their boyfriends. Like sometimes they don't just want to talk about school. Like they want to talk about what's going on in their social life, and also urge them to like give you more details. Like I feel like a lot of times kids don't like to just give details. So if you kind of push them and like guide them into what they should be talking about, like it'll make them more likely to want to talk. And then probably for kids.
Wait. I just want to jump in there. I like this. Okay. I like what you're saying. No, this is beautiful because it goes right along lines with what you were saying when you were talking to kids. If you, let's say you're a pathologist and you're talking about these kids, you're talking more about the Superman dolls. All right. Yeah. You're saying as you would be the adult talking to them, you're talking about what they want to talk to encourage them to speak more.
Yeah.
So I love the fact because here you're living, you know, you're walking the talk or talking the walk, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
However that saying goes. But go ahead. Now sell it to the kids.
Okay. So for kids, it's like even if you don't want to talk to your parents, like I get it. Sometimes you don't want to tell them everything. But just know that, like, they care. They want to know what you have to say. Like, tell them about your day. Tell them about things. And then when you're with friends, like, make plans to see them in person. You know, like, sometimes, like, going out to lunch is way better than, like, texting someone all day. You know, like, just have the face-to-face communication because it goes a much longer way than just doing what's easy.
Sure. All right. I'm loving every single thing you said. I'm so glad I pushed you into doing that. That's excellent. So, but tell me really, all right, because even me, I'm a little older than you. Okay.
I don't know
if you noticed that. Yeah, exactly. All right. Is that I love playing on the phone. All right.
Yeah.
I get stuck. There's only a handful of games that I play, and I play those first thing in the morning. They're mind games, get my brain cooking. All right. So I don't play other games, but I start getting stuck really with, I hate to say it, not really TikTok, but Reels. I get into Instagram Reels, and suddenly I'm stuck in them.
Oh, yeah, for hours.
And then I'm flipping through social media, and I pitch the idea I'm doing it for work because I have my social media channels. I'm looking what other people are doing so I become better at it. All right, but how do you really convince someone to get off of that? How do you convince someone to say, stop spending so much time staring at a screen. Instead, go look at someone. Make eye contact with someone. How do you convince someone to really do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely, like, when you're scrolling through TikTok, Reels, or whatever, you're watching people, like, go live their lives.
Yes.
Like, instead of watching other people go on vacation and go out to dinner, like, do it yourself. Like, it's more fun if you go out.
Sure.
And you go out, like, you go explore the world. And I think it's more beneficial to go do it yourself than to watch someone else do it.
I couldn't agree more. I think so wholeheartedly. You know, the idea here is on social media, we are only seeing that edited 60 seconds or edited 30 seconds with filters on them. It's not
Definitely,
real
yeah.
life.
No.
Okay. And I can find, if I'm in a lousy mood, I can find reels and stories to support my mood. If I'm in a,
oh, definitely.
If I, you know, because if I'm feeling low, I can find people who have a better life than me.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling great, I can find people to support me like that. But there's nothing better than going out and making face-to-face having face-to-face conversations, which is also really funny. We're talking about looking at people face-to-face and we're on the radio. Okay. But we are on YouTube as well. So I want to make sure everyone tunes into 98.3 FM, The Life. Find us on YouTube and you can rewatch this entire episode. As well as, because I'm watching the time, we're narrowing down. I just want to thank everyone so very much. And I want to thank my good friend Kira here for doing such an amazing job. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely. I love communication. I love speaking.
Yeah.
I love all of that kind of stuff. And I've very rarely have anyone to talk to that can share the same stories. So I'm going to share one really quick story with you. We talked about humor. I was in a humorous speech contest. And this was during COVID, so we had to do it over Zoom.
Oh, man.
Right? And so there were hundreds of people watching it on Zoom, but because they didn't want there to be a problem with the simulcast or whatever, you know, what they did was they told everyone to turn their mics off and their cameras. So I had to give a humorous speech into a camera. With no one. Couldn't hear anyone laugh, couldn't hear anything. So you can't, so you're talking about giving a speech where there's no audience to look at. It's so much more difficult because you can't read the audience. You don't know if it's funny or not.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, the good news is I ended up winning that contest. So I'm happy for myself. Thank you. So again, thank you all so very much for tuning in. This has been Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove. My host, again, was a wonderful Kira, which you're going to hear all about. She's going to be broadcasting soon. She'll take over my job, certainly.
Oh, yep, just you wait. Know,
exactly. And you'll hear her on the radio waves, TV.
She'll 100%.
Be doing all kinds of stuff. And then eventually, when she retires, she'll become a speech pathologist.
Yep.
Okay? So with all of that, thank you again. This is WRLR.FM. If you've missed any part of the show, I tell you, I'm begging you, you got to listen to the entire show. You'll actually learn something this time. Okay, so follow us on our podcast, Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, it'll be on later this week. Thank you so much. And Kira, again, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You've been a wonderful guest. Maybe once you get into this and you know what college you're going to go to where you're studying, we're going to have you back on the show.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. Keep on talking, everybody. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.